Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles this morning. We're going to be covering quite a large chunk of Proverbs. We'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 36. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 36. If you remember from last week, we saw wisdom making its case, or in this case, her case, because Solomon has decided to personify wisdom, making her case, calling out above all the road noise to direct God's people back to the truth, but also to direct God's people to the blessings of not just listening to the truth, but actually walking in the truth. Now, we also recognize that wisdom is beautiful. This personification of this of wisdom, we've seen it, her described as beautiful, loud, loving, caring, and helpful, in contrast to the immoral woman that we saw a few chapters back, who is also beautiful, but that's pretty much where the similarity ends, except for the fact, as we'll see in chapter 9, she's rather loud as well, because we have both sides competing against one another. We have Satan and his minions, and we have God's truth. And God's truth, of course, for those who have ears to hear, guess what we hear? We hear both. But the predominant voice in our head and in our heart is the Lord's voice, is the wisdom that comes from the Lord. The evil woman just seeks to break down, to destroy, to divide, whereas wisdom seeks to build up, to grow us into grace, by the grace of God, to prepare us for eternity, making it clear to us how important God's word is. In fact, last week and even this week, I'm going to talk about that aspect of making God's wisdom so desirous that if given the opportunity to make a choice between a bag of wisdom, a bag of gold, a bag of silver, and a bag of rubies, that we would naturally grab the wisdom. That's where our heart should always lead us. And wisdom keeps teaching us that that's where we need to focus our desires. There's a reason why we struggle, because our desires are for the things that are against God. So today's wisdom is still talking to us. And what we see today is wisdom's character revealed. So read with me chapter 8, verses 12 through 36. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and with them I find knowledge and discretion. In the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight and I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, filling their treasuries. Now, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. Where there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. So now, sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Father, as we come to you this morning, we hear your word. We hear how wisdom's character is revealed in her righteousness, in her resume, and in the reward that comes with listening to her. Thank you, Father, for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout this chapter, it's clear that wisdom seeks her own. Wisdom speaks loud enough so that those who have ears to hear can know the truth in the midst of how loud the immoral woman, the evil nature of the world around us speaks. No matter how many ways to get our attention, wisdom gets the attention of those who are the Lord's. She speaks for the Godhead directing us. She is used by God to get our attention because we are so easily distracted. She is used by God to lead us towards the truth, to teach us how to use the truth, to help us understand the Godhead that we serve. As I said, wisdom's character is revealed in her righteousness, her resume, and in the reward that comes with listening and following what she says. So the first thing we'll consider this morning is wisdom's character, specifically wisdom's righteousness. Again, listen to verses 12 through 21. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and it's there that I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even the fine gold. My yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, filling their treasuries. Wisdom, God's word, begins here telling us who she hangs out with. Who does she hang out with? Remember the ones she called last week? The foolish, the simple. Those that were granted salvation so that they had ears to hear. Ears to hear and hearts to desire more of wisdom rather than gold and silver and rubies. Those who sought the forgiveness of the Lord were imputed with the righteousness of Christ, the fear of the Lord, and they were given what? Prudence. And sense. So she's hanging out with those that she saved, if you will. Those where she finds prudence, discretion, or sense. She delights in hanging out with us. Those that she called. Those that she changed. Those who have now hearts of flesh rather than hearts of stone, in the same way that God is present with each of us all the time who believe. He is always with us throughout the ages. I am with you always. We are constantly reminded of his presence. She dwells with us, wisdom that is, because the Spirit dwells within us. Wisdom is there. Now, we lose sight of that all too often as believers. That's why James simply reminds us that all we, that is, all we who are God's children, all we have to do is ask. It's sort of like children. If we just ask our parents rather than assuming, things often go a little better. Not always. Because especially if we're asking for something that we shouldn't have. But all we have to do is ask the Lord, and it's provided. Because it's already here. It's right in front of us. It's just that for the moment, we're blinded, and we can't see it. So wisdom reminds us, those who have the fear of the Lord, not to be distracted, not to forget, and not to get caught up in the things that God hates. As she says here, God hates hypocrisy, God hates pride, rashness in believers, arrogance, stubbornness, division, disunity, lack of forgiveness, adultery, idolatry. But even though this list is short, we see more lists in this section, and we see lists later. But even perverted speech, what does that mean? Well, perverted speech usually deals with people who take the name of the Lord in vain, who use the name of the Lord to support their heresy, or use the name of the Lord to support their sin. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm going to pretty much quote to you, word for word, a particular instance, illustration that I've heard multiple times from Christian couples when I ask them, why do you live together outside of marriage? Well, we know God brought us together because we love each other and God is love. So the fact that we're together in a marriage or not in marriage is all because God did it. Now you say, you think I'm making that up? Well, ask that question to Christians who are living together. The answer they give doesn't answer my question, does it? It doesn't answer the question why Christians would knowingly live in sin. It just justifies their behavior. Because God's love, right? He wants, it's okay to break his commands when I want to. But that's our character. What's wisdom's? Well, wisdom's character is built around righteousness. Text tells us that righteousness is with her. It is her. In other words, it is the Godhead whom she represents. This righteousness, this is God's word. It counsels with sound wisdom, or true wisdom is the point. God's holy word alone, with the insight counsel, with the insight of our leaders and with the people, and even in the greater church, these three things combined, we grow in our knowledge and our application of the word. This righteousness has insight and strength unlike anything or anyone else. This insight, this strength, this sound wisdom, this counsel enables rulers and kings and princes and nobles to rule justly, those who do. The things that are good that come out of those rules bring God glory. All of that, the power of that is amazing. And then he goes on to say, she loves those who love her or it or him. Because we know who is speaking here. This is God's word to us. God, Christ loves those who loves him and keeps his commandments. He loves those who love one another as he loved us. And he loves us to the end. He loves those in whom his righteousness dwells, in whom his wisdom dwells. At the cross, remember we talked last week that Jesus took upon himself all of our abominations, all of our sins, past, present, and future. But there was a void left, and so he filled that void with his righteousness. He imputed his righteousness, which enables us then to love him, to keep his commandments, to listen to his wisdom, and to pass that on to those around us, to be a blessing. That was our original command in Genesis 12, to be a blessing to the people around us. The fruit of his righteousness guarantees eternal life. So it's unequivocally better than gold or fine gold or choice silver. But also he grants our inheritance to us who love him. Paul reminds us of that in Ephesians. In him, that is in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his counsel. Those aren't Presbyterian words. Those are God's words. And it's important to recognize the connection between these things. Wisdom's character is bathed in righteousness. We have been imputed with righteousness. What exists within us? If we would only merely call upon it, God's wisdom, that we might glorify the Lord, that we might edify the church. Now, wisdom's going to get ready to call upon us in a minute and say, you need to listen to me. But before she does, God has her give her resume. Verses 22 through 31. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before, I love that, the wording there. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Now, I don't know about you, but that's quite a resume. But it's not the only time we read such things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And then this from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Or from Paul, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and by him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The Godhead existed before creation. God's divine wisdom was seen, manifested at the beginning of that creation. And Paul tells us it's still being seen by all of his creation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is. These are the times when little words like is make a big difference. What can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that he has made. So we are without excuse. So wisdom is seen and wisdom is known, so all men are without excuse. God's wisdom is revealed in his work and his word. Jesus' coming, his death, his resurrection, his ascension is part of wisdom revealing itself. This is what the covenant of grace, this is the climax of the covenant of grace. This is the wisdom we need to understand that gives us power, that gives us strength, that gives us hope. And that wisdom, according to Paul, all men knew. It's probably why they spend so much time denying it. Because they all know it's true and it's real. Just by virtue of the fact that they're all image bearers of God. It's written into their DNA. We've said this many times. There's no such thing as a blank slate. Everyone knows right and wrong from the moment they are able to express themselves. Even before that, but we don't see it until then. And you know the example I always use. Just watch the nine-month-old or the year-old or whatever. As soon as they start walking, they have a tendency to hide when they do something wrong, or they hide something they don't want their other sibling to find. Where does that come from? It comes within their hearts. They are depraved in need of God's wisdom. And wisdom comes and influences and changes and supports and maintains God's people by the work of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is the ascent, is in essence the tool that God uses for those who have been given the fear of the Lord to reflect God's wisdom to the world around them. And this wisdom is seen as a servant of God, of the Godhead. I was beside him like a master workman. I was his delight daily, rejoicing before him always. And as God's servant, wisdom naturally praises God for all of God's creation, but specifically the creation of man, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Depending upon what church you may have grown up in or what you've learned throughout culture, sometimes we think or we're taught that the creation of man was a problem with design, a design flaw. That's why man fell. But actually, man was created as one of the main purposes for creation, to bring God glory, even our fall. So all this explains and will ultimately complete God's wisdom from creation to consummation. So yeah, that's quite a resume when we look at the definition of where wisdom was, where wisdom is, and where wisdom will be. So there's no question as to whether we should listen and devise our lives accordingly. So next we come to wisdom's reward, because wisdom has the authority to speak. Verse 32, "And now, O sons," or "O children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear my instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, watching beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death." That's pretty harsh stuff, but that's the reality of life on this earth. So we've seen how wisdom has called out to us to keep our attention, to get our attention, and to keep our attention. And then we've seen the latter part of this chapter, the way that wisdom's character is revealed, first in their righteousness, then her resume, and now the rewards that we'll see as we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says again, and I've made this point throughout this book up to this point, "And now, O sons, O children, listen to me." Now, wisdom has just told us where their authority comes from to speak. Are we going to actually question that authority? Are we going to actually reject that authority? Are we going to actually not listen to that authority? Listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. What's the inverse of that? Those who fail to find me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. Hear my instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. How has your last week gone? How much time did you spend with the Lord? How much time did you spend neglecting the Lord? Blessed is the one who listens to me. Here we are back to that again. Watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. This is almost like a New Testament beatitude, because we have an eschatological truth associated with an ongoing blessing. We see blessed is the one who listens to me. That's an ongoing blessing. The eschatological truth also ties in with what we are to do day by day. We're to watch at his gates. We're to spend time here in this word. We are to seek him and wait for him to do what? His second coming. Just like the Beatitudes that we see, whether they're in Matthew's gospel or whether they're in the Revelations. That concept of bringing the present and the future together as an ongoing and complete blessing. He's blessing those who simply do what? Listen to him. Look for him. But listen to him, because that word has a broad meaning. Remember, I explained it a few weeks ago. Listen, behold, hear also requires us to implement it into our lives, to look for him, but not just to wait and look, to be doing. What was Martin Luther's favorite thing when he was asked, what should I be doing in waiting on the Lord? And he says, well, I'll be working in my garden. I don't know what you're going to be doing, but I'm going to be doing the same things I do every day. You know, Jesus did a lot of great things in preparing his disciples to be shepherds and ministers of the word. But probably the one thing that had the most impact was when he bent down and washed their feet. We always look for big stuff. We can't be fulfilled unless we're doing big stuff. It's the day-to-day routine, the mundane things that bring glory to God. Changing diapers. That's probably one of the biggest. That mom and dad both change diapers. Because it teaches trust. It teaches presence. It teaches communion to the littlest among us, which enables us to understand the need that we all have, whether we're one or whether we're 90-some. It's important to understand that. Oh, children, listen to me. That's where our identity lies. You know, today, there's so many questions about identity in the world. Who am I? What am I here to do? Those are the easiest ones. But now we have this whole, I want to be what I want to be when I want to be it, no matter what you say. In fact, if you don't agree with what I think that I am, then you're homophobic or you're transphobic or you're a white supremacist or whatever word of the day, the vulgar word of the day, that they've been taught to say about people who disagree with their ungodly choices. Because we live in a world that says it's okay. You know, I can't be an airplane pilot unless I train to be one, but I can't be one just because I want to be one. But that goes beyond that when you say you want to be a female when you're a male. It's impossible. Those things are important, that we recognize where our identity lies, and that answers all sorts of questions. As God's sons and daughters, we are naturally blessed by him. And we're now able to hear instruction. We're now able to be wise. We're now able to not neglect it. We're now able to go forward and receive life and the favor from the Lord, to experience that, which is right there in front of us. That's the great thing about being a believer, is that all of these things are here. They've been granted to us. By virtue of our justification, we just don't believe they're there, so we don't experience them, and we say, well, they're not there for me. Well, yeah, they are. Just quit being so hard-headed and not listening to the word. because they're right at your fingertips or they're in your heart, just a matter of experiencing them. That's not a Pentecostal thing. It's just a reality. Being spirit-filled or having the fear of the Lord in you is not delegated to one denomination over another. It's the truth of all believers. God says he delights in us because he sees Christ, not us, in us. For we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. So we receive life. We receive the favor of the Lord, which means we receive all that's guaranteed and promised in the covenant of grace. Enables us to live life, experience life to its fullest, to be content. Or as Paul reminds us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The alternative is simply misery. So we see God's love before us clearly in wisdom's righteousness, wisdom's resume, and wisdom's rewards because of his overarching love for us. He wants us to experience life and favor. And he says, listen to me. Listen to me. And that's where contentment is found. And that's where joy is found. So wisdom's character revealed enables us to do these things. The formula is not hard. It simply begins with listening to the truth. Pray with me. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're thankful for your word that continues to remind us of who you are, but also who we are. We're never left out of the equation as we commune with you as a people. Our identity is within you and within your church. We're thankful for that definition. We're thankful for the blessings that brings to us, that knowledge and discretion, that prudence, that sense, the ability to hate what you hate, the ability to live lives directed by you when we listen to you. You were before us. You will be after us. But we're so thankful that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.